It's time for Squawk Talk, talking business to business. Squawk Talk highlights business and business owners in the Atlanta area. Squawk Talk is brought to you by Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration.
We're broadcasting live from the Eagle's Nest in the heart of Atlanta. Good afternoon and welcome to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. I'm your host, Kate Skirmerhorn. Joining me in the studio today is Paul Feiereisen from Southern Home Inspections Plus.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Lisa Turner from Silverleaf Management Group.
Hey, Kate.
And Karen Post from SecuraMade.
Good afternoon.
And Billy Nettles from Professional Multifamily Development, LLC.
Thank you much. I'm glad to be here.
Welcome, everybody. Hopefully everybody's not affected by the sinus allergies as I am, so I'll give a one-time apology for the hoarse voice today. Let's go ahead and get started. Paul Feiereisen from Southern Home Inspections Plus. Good afternoon, Paul. Why don't you start us off and tell us a little bit about Southern Home Inspections Plus.
Well, good afternoon to you. And I am a residential home inspector. And my business is to inspect properties for potential buyers and occasionally for a seller to give them an objective evaluation of the condition of the house that they are interested in, especially for buyers. One of the things that most people do and don't realize it is that they choose a house on an emotional level as opposed to an objective level. They love the way it looks. They like the spaciousness, or there's something about unique about that particular house that they really, really want. And my goal is to give them a very objective evaluation of what condition that house is in and the things that are going to need to be fixed, if you will, in order to bring it up to either code standards or livable standards. So in a nutshell, that's my goal, and hopefully help them come up with an objective decision on whether to buy the house or not.
Very good. Why don't you give us an idea of the kinds of things that you inspect for and what you're looking for when you go through an inspection in a house?
That's actually easy, although there's a lot to it. An inspection really starts on the outside. One of the first things I do is take a very close look at the roof to make sure that it looks as if it's in good condition. And I'm looking for things like loose shingles or missing shingles in many, many cases, the gutters, the sides of the house, the foundation. I take a look at the air conditioning units and get the data off of the data plates so that I can tell them this air conditioner is 5 years old or it's 25 years old. And most air conditioners only last about 12 to 15 years in Atlanta. So if it's 25 years old, they're probably going to be buying a new air conditioner right after they move in, or should be anyway. We look at other things such as the front porch and the deck to make sure it's attached to the house properly. Once I've done all that, then I start inside the house, and I like starting in the kitchen. If there are appliances, I will turn every single one on to make sure that they operate. We look for leaks underneath the sink. Make sure all the cabinet doors stay on. And then from there, go room to room, every single room, and make sure that the windows are operational and they're not broken or have cracks. That there's electricity in the sockets, that the doors lock. Privacy is very big in most families. And so a little thing is checking the door and making sure that the door lock works makes a big difference. I take that process all the way through. Check all the bathrooms, making sure there aren't any leaks, that the toilets flush properly, that the shower and the tub drained the way they're supposed to. And in that, all of that process, I also visit the basement if there's a basement. If there's a crawl space, I crawl under the crawl space to see what's there, much to my chagrin sometimes. And also, I spend a lot of time in the attic. I can learn more about a roof in the attic than I can on the outside. You can have a very good looking roof on the outside, but if when I go in the attic, if there's a leak, that leak usually leaves a nice black stain on the inside, the plywood, if you will, of the roof. And I can tell you almost exactly how many leaks you have if there are any. So then I take all that information and I roll it together into a computer generated report and guarantee my report to you or to my clients in by the next day.
That's a lot of information. It looks like you're looking for in houses. How long does it take you to do an inspection in a typical house? You're inspecting all of those different things.
In a typical house, usually that has 3 or 4 bedrooms, 2.5, 3 baths, somewhere in that area, it takes me about 2 hours, 2.5 hours to do a thorough inspection.
Okay. And I'm sure you've probably seen some very unusual things in your home inspecting. What's been one of the most unusual things that you have found in your inspections?
One of the most unusual ones, not too long ago, I was doing an inspection for a very old home, probably about 70 years old, and in the crawl space, I actually found a complete skeleton of a cat. Now, the cat had passed away a long time ago, and I believe the ants had done all the work they were going to do on it. So anything, all that was left was the bones, you know, but it was in pristine condition, and I left it just where it was.
Paul, how did you get into this business?
I retired from the military back in 1995, worked for a number of different companies that gave me a very nice income, but I finally got to the point where I wanted to be my own boss. And having done a number of previous assignments, if you will, that dealt with inspecting, it was a logical step for me to start my own company 3 years ago, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
That's great. We're listening to Paul Feyerisen from Southern Home Inspections Plus. Paul, can you give us an idea of what your service area is? How far out do you reach across Georgia and Atlanta?
I actually cover 15 counties in the greater Atlanta area. So that has me traveling a lot. But I do that because there are people who need inspections in every corner of Atlanta. I mean, that's so I cover the whole area.
Okay. And your name, Southern Home Inspections Plus. What gives you the plus? Why would people choose Paul Feyerisen with Southern Home Inspections Plus?
The one comment that I usually receive, or compliment I actually receive from my clients, is that my inspection and my reports are very, very thorough. And that's the plus, that I'm trying to always give them the best possible inspection that I probably can. And also that I guarantee my report by the next day.
You seem like you really love your job. What do you love most about it, Paul?
I like teaching people. And this gives me an opportunity to teach my clients while I'm going through the inspection how the furnace works, how the air conditioner works, and how they work together, how to clean out the residue, if you will, in the water heater. All water that comes into every house, all houses, all the water coming in, comes in with a small amount of residue. And that residue collects in the bottom of the water heater. And so I teach people how to flush that out on an annual basis, once a year, to make to allow their water heaters to extend the life a little bit and make it work better.
Do you ever recommend people not buy a house, or are you just telling them what's involved in their house?
No, I never really tell anybody not to buy a house, but my goal is to tell them what I find, mm-hmm. and let them make the decision whether they want to or they don't. Surprisingly enough, I have inspected some homes where in my own heart, I say they should not buy this house. It is in such bad condition. It's literally falling down, only to find out that they're making an investment, and they're willing to pay to fix up the house because they can get it so inexpensively that even if they spend $20,000 or $30,000 fixing it up, it's still a good investment for them. So sometimes I'm surprised that they're actually going to buy it, but then that makes sense.
But then your inspection's showing them what they need to fix.
Exactly right.
Excellent. Well, Paul, if somebody wanted to find a little bit more information about Southern Home Inspections Plus, how would they go about doing that?
The best thing they can do is actually call me at 404-245-6682, and we can have a conversation very much like this one.
Very good. We've been listening to Paul Feyerisen from Southern Home Inspections Plus. Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
Our next guest is Lisa Turner with Silverleaf Management Group. Thank you, Lisa, for being here today.
You're welcome, Kate. Thanks for the invite.
Lisa, why don't you tell us a little bit about Silverleaf Management Group and what all you do?
Silverleaf Management Group is a community association management company. A lot of people think that's property management, and it is. The difference is we manage homeowner associations and condominium associations. So there's a little bit more to it than just facilities management. There's people management in that as well.
And what exactly would a professional management company do to help a neighborhood?
Our main job is to counsel and guide a board of directors. Board of directors are volunteers, and they are doing the best they can with the knowledge they have, and they try to read these covenants that sometimes are 50, 60, 70 pages long and decipher that and make it work in their neighborhoods. They're not written for the layperson to understand. So as a property manager and a community manager, our goal is to make sure that that's put into simple terms that everybody can understand. And to help boards apply that to how their neighborhoods have developed from construction to where they are now.
And do you do that on site, or do you do that from your office, or?
We actually do both. We have several clients that we manage in a portfolio aspect, meaning that we'll have a manager that has several properties that they'll take care of throughout the course of a year. We have at least two properties that have on-site managers, which means they're large enough and they have enough demand, shall we say, from the owners that there needs to be a manager on site and available to them.
Okay. And how did you get into managing this business?
I volunteered on a board and found out that I really enjoyed helping people in their homes. Very similar to Paul, I like to educate people, and this is a great way to educate people on how to maximize their investment, participate in their communities, and really, really get the bang for their buck for their home.
And what do you enjoy most about what you do, Lisa?
The best part about my job is getting to know people in their home environment. There's nothing like talking to someone about their biggest investment, where they have their family, where they grow their roots the deepest. It's rewarding to me to help them understand what they've agreed to do and help them appreciate how an HOA can benefit them as a homeowner, but also as a participant in their community.
Very good. Now, if a community was looking to hire a company, so obviously mm-hmm. there's a lot of communities out there that are just managing themselves and doing things themselves, and they say, whoa, our community is either too big or we have no idea what we're doing and we're just getting in fights with our neighbors. What kind of things would they want to, what kind of questions would they want to ask? What would they need to look for in a property management company or a company to help?
The first thing you want to look for is you want to get some sort of credibility in that. There are a lot of management companies out there, a lot of real estate companies that will do this kind of on the side, you know, by happenstance. There's nothing in the world wrong with that. But what I'd like to encourage people that are interested in getting professional management is that they reference the Community Associations Institute, which is our national trade organization. They have educational standards that we all participate in. They're a national standard, so we are current on all the national laws. And on a local level, we have a Georgia chapter, CAI Georgia. And all of the management companies in the area that are members of that organization have a specific code of ethics. We have vendors that are also members of our organization also operate under that same code of ethics. And we try to encourage associations to look at that and review that. They can always contact CAI Georgia for guidance on how to select a management company and make sure that they're getting what they need. Every management company offers similar services, but you have to be able to customize it. No community is alike. You may have a pool, you may not. You may have a tennis court, you may not. And even if you are the same from an amenity standpoint, every homeowners association has a different personality. So once you've identified a credible firm that has the educational background and has the knowledge and expertise, then it's just a matter of making sure the personality fits.
So you're not out there measuring people's grass?
Actually, we do. No. my ruler actually measures in millimeters.
That's
no, I'm
fantastic.
Kidding. That is probably the most widely held opinion of management companies out there, is that we are the grass measurers and the general rule makers and the enforcers. And that is true. However, we don't use rulers. We use a community standard. So if your community is one that has pristine lawns and you don't, seems pretty obvious that we would ask you to raise the bar a little bit. We joke that, you know, there are movies out there, Over the Hedge being one that really gives you a stigmatic view of how a board president may be. And yes, those exist. But in the most of these board members are just interested in helping their communities and helping their neighbors and themselves benefit from community involvement and community leverage, really, to get some services that really benefit everybody.
That's very informative. Can you tell us, is there information issues that are facing homeowners associations out there that they need to be aware of that maybe they are unaware of because they're not managed by a management company?
Absolutely. The biggest thing right now is foreclosures. And I think that, you know, when you look across the nation and you figure out that there's a lot of foreclosures happening, and locally, we have a zip code that has the most foreclosures in the nation, and that is 30045, which is Lawrenceville, right in my own backyard. And that's staggering. So how that translates to a homeowners association is when a home forecloses, the association may lose a whole lot of dues. If that owner, and likely is the case, if that owner hasn't paid their dues, once a foreclosure happens, the association loses any opportunity to collect those dues. So we've got through CAI Georgia and the Legislative Action Committee that we have with that organization, we've been trying to push some legislation through the state to get some laws on the books that will help these banks be a little more responsible. It's called the legislation is called a super lien, and what that would do is require the banks to pay 6 months in arrears. So if a home forecloses on June 1st, instead of the association getting dues from June 1st forward, they'll get everything from January 1st to June, which will be a nice thing for associations that are struggling, because when you have a large number of foreclosures, it does impact the bottom line. And when associations are budgeting, they're trying to budget it on a net zero basis. So if they can't count on that income from all of their homes, then it is difficult for them to provide the services that the homeowners deserve.
And what areas of town are your communities, and or how far out do you reach?
We have a wide swath. We reach from Ackworth to Eatonton to Athens, north to Cumming. So we are all over the place. And really the proof is in the pudding as far as services, because like I said, we have a whole lot of vendors that have subscribed to the same code of ethics that we have, and we rely on our vendors to help us manage these properties. So it wouldn't be wise of me to say that we can do it by ourselves. It's definitely a team effort, a team in the board, a team in our vendors, and a team with us. So through that partnership, we're able to manage a wide, wide area.
Well, you may have just answered my next question, but I'll give you an opportunity to sure. elaborate. Is what would separate you from other companies that are doing the same thing that you're doing?
I would say innovation. One of the things that when Silverleaf was created 3 years ago, one of the things I looked at was how can we do this and make it more effective? So we've tried to generate ways, not only with customer service, but with how we approach homeowners with empathy and understanding. Understanding that they have a responsibility to participate and participate actively in their associations, whether that be by paying dues or just being responsible about maintenance. But we've tried to implement some different ways through technology, through education, and through just making ourselves available to our homeowners and to our boards to make sure that they know we're available to help them and educate them on how to best approach all the situations and issues that rise up for homeowners associations.
And speaking of issues, I'm sure you've had a few that have come your way. What has been some of the strangest complaints that you've heard from homeowners?
Strange complaints. Well, the biggest one is dog care and grooming and how people are responsible about that. Certainly, you know, the question about how, you know, if who's complaining about them. And another misconception we get is that any generation of a complaint is from a neighbor, and that's typically not the case. We're actively involved in the communities, meaning that we visit the communities and we are the ones that monitor behaviors and try to address those with the most respect as we can. But it is interesting sometimes how the homeowners will react to that. Probably the funniest case that we've had involved a squatter that was convinced that the house was his, had the police convinced that the house was his, and it wasn't his. It wasn't his, and the bank knew it. So it was one of those head-scratcher situations, and it took us several months to actually convince him that he needed to find another place to live.
I can't even imagine how you go about resolving that one.
Right.
So if Lisa, somebody, if a homeowner, if somebody's sitting there listening to us now and they're thinking, well, you know, our homeowner, I'm tired of bickering with my neighbors, and I think mm-hmm. of having a professional developer management company help us out, how would they go about finding some more information about you?
They could certainly call me. My phone number is 770-554-3984. My extension is 101. And then they can go to our website at silverleafmanagement.com.
Great. Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Kate.
Excuse me. I've got a question.
Please.
What criteria do you use when you are looking at a community that is interested in your business?
Criteria meaning
how do you price it?
There's several different philosophies behind that, mainly experience. If you look at a community that has just an entrance and maybe 100 homes, you know that there's not going to be a whole lot of major issues where you're going to interact with all 100 of those homeowners. Add a pool, add a tennis court where you have to interact with homeowners and you have to make sure that they know how to access those things. Mm-hmm. That does up the ante and increases our time investment with that. Add gates to that, add elevators, add more mm-hmm. amenities, more offerings, then certainly our price would go up accordingly, because basically all we're doing is selling our time and expertise.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was a great question, Paul. Our next guest is Karen Post from Securimate. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
We're glad you're here today. Why don't you start us off by telling us a little bit about Securimate?
Well, Securimate was started with the principle of house cleaning and small office cleaning, as the name says, Securimate. But most important is we're finding that homeowners are very concerned about their property, the things that they have in their home, and we wanted to make sure that we were providing a service of really, really high-tech screening for our individuals that go out to clean the homes. We have a very structured process of cleaning. We supply each homeowner with a checklist so that they can go back after we've left and make sure that we've covered everything that we said we were going to cover. We specialize in residential, and we do some small office, but our real niche is the residential customer. We service Gwinnett, South Hall and North Fulton counties. We are available Monday through Friday. We do some Saturdays. And our homeowners can be home or not home. We have no requirements as far as that goes. Pets, we love pets. We ask that they be put up, but we are definitely a pet-friendly company.
So it sounds like you've got the homeowners trying to put them at ease with the name Securimate, that the maid service is secured, and you've got clearance, if you will, from the kind of screenings do you do with your employees?
Well, one of our principals in the company actually owns an investigations company, and he actually does all of our screening for us. We do extensive background screening. We do driving record screening. We do drug screening, and we also carefully check all references of all of our potential candidates.
And how did you get involved in the business?
I am actually a native of Connecticut, and I had a residential cleaning service there. And when I relocated to Georgia, sold it, and wanted to get back into business, and so decided that since I know this is a good place to be. And the principal, one of our principals, actually owned a janitorial service. So we kind of combined all of our skills and opened Securimate.
And if somebody was thinking about hiring any cleaning company, what kind of questions would be good questions for them to ask?
Well, they should ask, is the company insured? And can the company actually show them a certificate of insurance so they can see their coverage levels? They should ask if they have that checklist so they can see what it is that they do and what they're going to do so they can follow behind. They also want to know if they have a guarantee policy. If there's something that was missed or maybe not done to their expectations, how are you going to fix this? What's going to happen if something breaks? How are you going to handle that? What will happen? Are the people screened? Certainly, that's one of the biggest things that people want to know. That how protected am I?
And so homeowners don't have to be there when you're doing the cleaning service because you're trusting that you're putting quality people in the house.
Absolutely. Customers can be there or not there. We have a very secure key process that we have everything locked up, double checked, and only two people in our company have access to the keys, and they're all numbered and they have no one's name on them. So if someone were to break in and want to know whose key that is, there would be no way to know.
Now, there's a lot of people that do cleaning out there. Obviously, there's a lot of house cleaners out there, and some people is just a mom in a minivan that's doing that on her side. Why would they hire a professional company such as Securimate?
Well, for several reasons. One reason is that when the girl in the van get sick or the van breaks down, then there's nobody that's going to come and clean your home. And you may be having a party or some special event, and, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I have nobody to come and clean my home. Whereas if you're scheduled, we may not, if we have a sick call, we will send another person to be able to handle that. We always work in teams of two. We try to have dedicated teams to each home. So even if one person is out sick, there'll be one maid that will be familiar with your home. The other thing is the liability. By hiring someone in the minivan, if they were to fall or hurt themselves in your home, and all of a sudden you're getting sued, and you're going, well, what is this? Well, I'm getting sued. You know, you're getting sued because that person did not have the insurance that they said, you know, that we have. We take the liability off the homeowner. The other thing that we do is we bring all of our own equipment, and we bring all of our own cleaning supplies, from cloths to we use backpack vacuums, which allow less damage to the woodwork in the home, so that there's nothing that they're pulling behind them. They have more control. They can suck up a brick. They're very, very powerful. And all of the products that we use, all of our maids have a book dedicated to them, and it shows, has all the MSDS sheets, allowing each homeowner to know exactly what the makeup of each of our products are, so that they know that they, if it'll be safe for them. We use microfiber cloths. We use dedicated color-coded cloths for each room. You'll never ever mix and match bathrooms with kitchen areas. So we're pretty. That makes us very different.
I would say so, and I would even say call you EnviroMaid with all that. Makes it clean. I've never even thought about using a separate cloth in one room versus the other. That's very detailed. What kind of things would a homeowner expect if you were to come in? Typically, on a house cleaner, are you doing the whole house? Are you typically doing the kitchens and the bathrooms, or do you customize programs for people?
Actually, everything is customized. We meet with each customer an in-home estimate, so that we can do two things: evaluate the home, evaluate the needs, actually listen to what it is that they want and what's important to them and what their needs are. I actually do that. I take detailed notes, and then I make a detailed list for each of our maids, and they in their book that. That sheet will be, that customer sheet will be loaded into their book as they go out to that home at each cleaning. Some clients want the whole house. Some want main level and upper level one time, main level and terrace level another time. But everything is customized to each individual home and each individual's needs.
Are your clients typically weekly clients or monthly clients or quarterly, or do you work with all of them?
Our typical client is every other week. And we do have some weekly clients. We have some monthly clients. But the typical is every other week, because that allows the home to be maintained and the process to be much more efficient when it's done on a every 2 week basis.
Here's your hardball question of the day, Karen. What do you love most about what you do?
I love being able to help people. There's no better satisfaction than when we get a call from a client that says, oh my gosh, I just got home and my house smells so good and it's so clean, and now I can spend time with my children and I can go out and I can have fun and I'm not bogged down with this house that I feel like I need to clean but I don't want to.
And I think you've answered it in a whole bunch of questions, but see if you can throw it in one more way. What else is going to separate you from the rest of your clients out there?
I'm going to tell you a testimonial, actually, from a client. Perfect. What they said was, because I asked them, I said, well, why did you choose us? And she said, well, because there's somebody that follows behind your people, that, you know, you are constantly checking with them and following up. I get a text message or a call from each crew when they're leaving, making sure that everything is done. We have a supervisor dedicated to each team, so that and it's her responsibility to go through behind every single person to make sure everything is done correctly. And that's the difference. Instead of saying, well, you go here, you go there, and we'll meet in the middle, and we're done, and let's get out of here and go to the next place. It's very, very detailed. They treat our clients' homes as their home.
Fantastic. Now, if somebody, of course, wanted to call and book Secure a Mate, how would they go about doing that?
They can call our office at 678-541-0953. They can email us at info@securemade.com or visit our website. There's a little sheet to fill out on the website at www.securemade.com.
And that's for our listeners, Secure, SecureAMade.com. No E on the end of secure. Great. Thank you, Karen. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Our next guest is Billy Nettles from Professional Multifamily Redevelopment.
It's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful. Can I just call that PMR?
PMR,
for short?
That's what I do
that's
as well.
To make it a little easier for that's a. I don't think I can get all that out that many more times. So welcome, Billy. Tell us a little bit about PMR.
PMR started in 2009, right after the cliff fell off for the real estate industry. And I've been fortunate to work for some of the largest apartment developers in the country for about 24 years. And I went right out of school, worked for some of the big boys, and it was a great career, traveled all over the country, basically redeveloping, renovating apartments all across the country. And so I've kind of developed what I call flip this house on steroids. I literally, my teams and I have literally renovated and redeveloped tens of thousands of homes. And I think the count last time I did it was about 75,000 or more homes across the United States. And again, I've had that fortune to work for some of the big guys who were very aggressive and just went out and did large portfolios. And it's funny, when the market crashed, I looked around and saw all this talent sitting on the sidelines. A lot of these developers got rid of their construction apartments just to kind of cut costs. And I just said, hey guys, we have to do something about this. There's just too much talent out there. And what that really meant was me starting PMR and getting out there. And so instead of being the VP of construction for ABC developer, I can now be the VP of construction for anybody. And that includes mom and pop organizations who maybe own a small community, to regional players, to national players. And I honestly travel all over the country doing what I do.
And who are some of PMR's clients?
Well, interestingly enough, we're involved in quite a bit of hotel work lately. Multifamily means condos, hotels, apartments. My background primarily is apartments, but multifamily is multifamily, whether it's fast-paced hotels or apartments. But we've got a small renovation here in Atlanta, which is nice to be home for a little while. I just returned from Miami. We just completed 110 units in 2012. Which was a great project. It was a smooth running, just a bunch of interior renovations, and it was working like a Swiss clock until the owner sold the property. And but it was a great project. It was great being in Miami, and so those kind of projects.
Okay, and what is the difference between PMR and, say, a general contractor?
The difference is basically PMR represents the owner, the client. Because I've worked for the owner all these years, it's just ingrained in me to protect the owner and to squeeze out every ounce of opportunity to basically save a dollar. And the beauty of multifamily is if you can just tweak it 1%, 2% on any budget for that matter, because it's multifamily, it ends up being very large dollars at the bottom line. If you can squeeze out, $50 a unit on a renovation on, say, appliances or whatever it may be. So we'll go directly to the appliance manufacturers and order directly. We'll go to the paint manufacturers, order directly. And the other thing that we do that's different is PMR acts as their agent. And by acting as their agent, one, I don't have to charge them as much of a fee as a general contractor will. Nowhere close to that. So that's one direct way they save money. Another one is because I set the contract my client, the owner or investor, directly with these entities, such as the contractor or the subcontractor or the supplier or the manufacturer, they actually contract directly. And what I do is I supervise the process. They'll pay me a fee that's, again, much less than anybody else. And then I basically act as their representative to make sure that they get the most out of it. And I do the same service really for the other side of it, which is the service provider. And I make sure the owner's playing fair, which mainly means paying them on time and so forth. But I just make sure both parties play fair, but it's really to the benefit of the owner. And when it's all said and done, they get a much, much richer project for much, much less than us. So they can actually do projects, perhaps, and actually buy apartment communities they normally wouldn't buy otherwise.
And what makes redeveloping multifamily fun?
What I like about it is, one, again, the multiples. It's fun to have such a major impact on – you can make one decision and have a major impact across just a multitude of units, whether it's a design decision or it's a policy decision or whatever it may be, but it's going to impact a lot. I used to work for a very large company called AIMCO, which was 350,000 apartments across the United States, and my territory alone was bigger than most real estate companies. And the beauty of working for a group like that, and I have the same mentality today, is let's say you make a mistake, where most people consider mistake. A mistake is a success. Because when we made that mistake and we identified the mistake, you surely did not repeat that mistake 350,000 times. But if you made it what we call successes, you definitely repeated it. So I'm able to have that impact. And because, again, all my resources are national, again, it's just great to have that kind of impact. And I'm somewhat of a frustrated an architect. I love design. I love, especially on the multifamily world, the ultimate client is the resident. And if we could do anything, my passion is if we could do anything design-wise inside the apartment, outside the apartment, to make it that much more of a better place to live, they're going to be a better client for my client. And they're going to want to stay there longer. Their retention rate is going to go up the whole bit. And it just makes it that much better. And it also raises the value of the community. So I love finding out any little details I can do, whether it's a Kershaw rod or the design of the kitchen floor or the lighting. Or we had a great project in Nashville years and years ago where we actually installed a recording studio. And it's just one of those unique towns that you can do something that great. But when we did it, it was a hit. And that's just fun to do things like that.
Now, are you running the crews on these redevelopments, or are you bringing in people to contract for you?
It's a variety. In Miami, I was more directly involved. Here in Atlanta, basically, I've got crews that work for me. I've got superintendents and so forth. It really depends on the location and the resources and where those resources are coming from in that location. For example, if I'm working in Seattle, I very well may bring in folks out of Phoenix because they will basically beat the pants off the market in Seattle. So it just really depends on the particular situation.
Certainly. It sounds like you are nationwide.
Nationwide, definitely.
Nationwide. And is there any area that you're not covering yet in the continental
areas? I would say I don't spend a lot of time in the Northeast. One, because it's cold up there. Two, it's a heavy union base and so forth. It's a little bit just more difficult to administer what I do. But in the big scheme of things, again, I'm from Seattle to Southern California to Miami, doesn't matter.
So any kind of hotel or apartment communities that are trying to redevelop and redo their communities is a good client for you.
Absolutely. And the beauty is because I have worked in most markets across the country with these other developers, quite often I actually go back and see communities that I actually, believe it or not, redeveloped maybe 20 years ago.
Do you ever do any redevelopment in single-family homes where a whole neighborhood's trying to be redeveloped?
You know, we're looking into that. I know there's a lot of folks out there that are buying large portfolios because of the market right now, trying to take some of that stuff off the inventory.
I hear in Atlanta, in different towns where they're trying to redevelop a certain area of town, and didn't know if that was something that you were involved in or looking at down the road?
We're looking at down the road, and we were talking to a couple of people. Again, my hang-up is because my impact is going to be, again, on the multifamily side, and the single-family market is just such a different scale when it comes to pricing and so forth. And I don't know if I can have the same impact, but, again, we're looking into it just in case.
And tell me again, what separates you, PMR, from other people who may be doing the same thing?
Well, one, is not a lot of people do what I do.
Okay.
So that's unique. Two, I literally have been in the business 27 years, and that's unique. And I would say 80% of my portfolio really is renovation and renovation management. And that's pretty unique to the industry. A lot of people that are doing construction really didn't get there directly like I did. I was very, very fortunate. My education is in building construction and so forth at a VT. And I immediately started working for a REIT, and it's just been a great career.
What has been some of the most unusual redevelopments you have taken on?
I would say probably the most exciting, what I really, really found the most rewarding is probably actually here in southeast or southwest Atlanta. and right in the Easton area where Atlanta meets Easton and so forth. And it basically was affordable housing. And it's very, it's great to basically, one, take a look at a project that was rotting from the inside out, and where most people would just pass it by. It's when we were purchasing these items years ago, they were what you would call a D-minus grade property. Most people would say, oh, geez, no way. And we were able to turn that around and turn it into basically good housing for people who just didn't happen to make a lot of money. And it's pretty rewarding when we can provide housing. And the beauty of what we do is, whether it's affordable housing or it's student housing or it's conventional housing, it's the same. You know, it's still sheetrock, it's still good quality carpet, and it's so it's fun to be able to provide that level of housing for everybody.
That's great. And we're listening to Billy Nettles from PMR, Professional Multifamily Development. See, that's why I had to shorten it.
I know. I do, too.
So Billy, if a developer or someone is trying to find some more information about you and how they could hire you, how would they go about doing that?
Well, the best way is to check me out on the website, www.pmredev.com. That's PMREDEV.com. Or you're also welcome to call me at 678-446-7570.
Great. Thank you, Billy. And you've been listening to Squawk Talk, where we talk. Oh, Paul has a question before we close out. Yes.
Yes, Billy. If there is a potential investor who is looking at a multifamily property, mm-hmm. should they talk to you before they buy or after they buy?
Absolutely. They should be talking to us really well before they buy. Because, one, we can, just like you do on your mm-hmm. single-family homes, right. We go out there, and part of the service we provide is what you do. We basically do inspections, mm-hmm. and we do due diligence. It will help them analyze the property in advance. We'll help them come up with a plan about this is where you could take it from the position it's in now to a new position, depending on what they want to do with the property.
Right.
Help them design it, lay it out, budget it, the whole bit, and really tee it up for success. And if they want to carry it on from there, they can do that as well.
Okay, great. I think I've got a lead for you.
Great. Awesome.
Fantastic.
Pass it along today.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, I want to thank all of our guests again. You've been listening to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. Special thank you to Paul Feyerisen from Southern Home Inspections Plus.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Lisa Turner from Silverleaf Management Group.
Thank you, Kate.
Karen Post from SecuraMade.
Thank you very much.
And Billy Nettles from PMR.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Kate Skirmerhorn with Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration, taking care of all your floor cleaning and restorations needs. Listen to this show and other Squawk Talk broadcasts on squawktalk.businessradiox.com. Until the next Squawk Talk, remember, when you're ready to get the job done right, let's set the eagle in flight.